This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
I simply got arrested by Brevard County. Melbourne PD. And from that day to this one, I've never had a drink or a drug.
So you just went into the... Why did you get arrested? For the drugs?
I don't know. I used to always get arrested. It was something trivial.
So you were in prison?
No, jail. County jail.
County, that's what I mean. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't know the difference. Okay. Jail. And so what happened when... So
4 months. I spent 4 months in the county
jail. 4 months. Now, hold on. Now, when did you come to know the Lord? That was before you went to jail?
I knew the Lord before I went to jail, but I was struggling in the natural,
okay.
Which is...
That's like the pillow guy. He called him when he was addicted to methadone or whatever it was, or meth. And the guy saved him, and God says, you're going to do this. It was before he was healed. Same with you.
Which is, again, very much back on topic. We're talking today about recovery, about getting back, going back. We're talking about...
So in other words, you don't have to clean up your act to come to Jesus. You come to Jesus, and then he'll help you clean up.
Yep. It is impossible to do without an absolute, resolute belief and action in something greater than yourself.
You were fishing today, you told me.
Yes.
You don't clean a fish first. You got to catch them first
before you clean them. And so we found people that, like myself, they ran into the 12-step rooms with a drug and alcohol problem and walked out without one. Because there's two types of spiritual awakening. There is the white light. That's what Moses got. That's what Paul got. And that's what some of us have had. But then there's the educational variety where we sit still and learn. If you've never been a professional painter, and you want to know how to do it, it's called on-the-job training.
Yes, sir.
They'll show you how to tape. They'll show you how to trim. They'll show you how to roll. And then after a while, they'll show you how to use the sprayer. It doesn't happen in a day. It's an educational thing. You don't know anything about cars, and you want to be a mechanic. Well, you start changing oil, then you go to brakes, and you learn as much as you want to learn. So even though we, and again, going back to the hooked on religion thing, there are people that think that they are servants of God. They really do.
But they're not.
But if you take a close examination of them with the Word of God, they're way off on a lot of things.
Now, do you mean by being involved in sin?
No.
Or, okay, what are you talking about? Oh, you're talking about maybe that the bondage of religion?
Yes. The Bible says they have a zeal toward God, but not according to knowledge.
You move the mic. He might have to fix that mic, Noah. He might have to fix that mic. He moved it. Okay. Go keep talking.
There's it's called religiosity. It's another mask that we put on. We appear to be religious. We appear to be holy. We appear to be sanctified to the point where we actually think we are. But the number one rudiment, the number one rudiment of Christianity is love. Jim Jones. And then...
Well, hold on. Before we get into Jim Jones, I want to say this. That's what happened to me. A young lady broke my heart. For 2 years, I had a physical pain in my chest.
Mm-hmm.
I wept for over 400 days every day over the relationship, but I would not go back to it unless I heard from the Lord. So he used the showing to really break my heart. So I went into a funeral. In the funeral was a friend who I went to Israel together. He shot it. He was a professor. He shot the music video that I wrote, the song Jerusalem and the Empty Tomb. Anyway, he came back. He got cancer. And he said, well, it's a win-win. Either I die and go with Jesus or I stay here and promote Jesus. But anyway, he died. I go into his funeral, Dr. McLaughlin, and I feel peace of the Lord. There's no pain in my chest. I leave the church, the pain starts again. I said, what's going on here? I don't have the pain in there. So I said, why won't you let this pain go? And that's when I did not hear an audible voice, but an unction that said, I had to deliver you from a spirit of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was at Nashville for the Gospel Music Awards, and this very effeminate little man comes over. Can I help you? And I was so broken that he was so tender, and I related to his tenderness. And so he's gay. It's not my business. I realized at that moment, God did not save me to judge. I'm going to be nice to everybody. I'm going to love people. If I get to tell you about my Jesus, fine. The judgment is left up for him. And I was set free from that bondage of religiosity. So you're right on, Mark. Now, you're going to talk about Jim Jones.
There is a tendency, even amongst fundamental believers. Jim Jones started with the Bible. He really did. He started with the King James Bible and ended up in a jungle somewhere with automatic machine guns.
And Kool-Aid. That was poison.
And if some of us were to look at ourselves, we need to see that maybe we're off a little bit. Let's start with Peter first. Do you know Peter didn't really get it until well after Jesus died?
Yeah. He saw Moses coming down and stuff.
Jesus told him to his face, "When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." So that means I'm telling you, you're half baked and you're not ready. Wow. You're half baked and you're not ready.
I never thought of that. You read that 1,000 times, but now, when you are converted.
When thou art converted, he was speaking to him personally.
Yes.
Then you can strengthen the brethren.
Wow.
When Peter met Paul, Paul blasted him because he would pretend to be a Jew around the Jews.
Peter would?
Yes. And then he pretended to be a Christian around the New Testament Christians. And Paul saw him doing that, and he blasted him. And when there was a controversy, not to get theological, when there was a controversy about how much Judaism should be in the new Christian belief system, Paul had to go to the Jerusalem Council and withstand them to their face.
And he knew it because that guy had been a Pharisee.
Yes, so they could not hornswingle him, whatever you call
it. He knew the Torah.
They couldn't spin him around.
No.
He was both a Christian and a Jew. God played a joke on him just like he played on me. Yeah. Everything that I had run into before February the 18th, 1998 was setting me up.
And what do you mean by that? Setting you up?
Because now I can speak to a wide variety of people because I am world-traveled. I'm very well familiar with different religious doctrines.
Yeah, you studied, you were a Muslim and a Buddhist.
I understand Ramadan. And I have, now that I'm a Christian, I've spent a little time studying the Jewish faith. I was actually preaching a youth revival in Las Vegas. And a Jewish rabbi walked in. He had the right place on the right night, but he had the wrong person. He came to hear someone else. And most of my teaching was on the Old Testament.
Whoa,
I ran up to this
Torah
guy. Yes, he eats Jewish food. He dresses in Jewish clothes. He speaks the language, and he's well acquainted with the religion and the history because he is a real Jew. And a rabbi, of course. Maybe later we'll get into how it was an actual miracle because it was actually on Yom Kippur.
Oh,
but I'm not going to get into
Yom Kippur again. That Day of Atonement,
the High Holy Day,
the Day of Atonement. Okay.
He would have been paid to be somewhere else, but he came over there for free and caught the wrong guy at the right time speaking on the Old Testament.
So what did you say?
I ran up to him afterwards and I was like, "Am I kind of right?" And with all humility, he said that everything that I said was okay. To hear it from a racial Jew, a historical Jew, was a very good compliment. But anyway, so I study. I'm not afraid to study. I'm not afraid to learn. I'm not afraid to
research. Was he converted?
No. He was a very different brand of Messianic Jew. He fully embraced.
Oh, he was Messianic. So he believed Jesus is Messiah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But like Peter, he is a Jew first. and then a believer, which is going back to topic again. We're talking about people who think they have a belief system. When I was a martial artist, I ran into a lot of guys who thought they knew martial arts. They really honestly did. But knowledge is in the eye of the beholder.
I see that look. I see that look on your face.
Knowledge is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
Some people think they can play a guitar.
Yeah.
Until the real guy comes along.
How about some people think they can sing? And they, I said, can't you hear how horrible that is?
Until the real
They're
guy
on Americans,
comes along.
What is it, Idol or whatever it is?
Yeah. But anyway, so we're at a time in the world itself where Jews and Muslims and Christians, we all need to revamp what we think and get back to central truths. And that which is working, hold it. And that which is not working, we need to let it go. Jehovah trumps all in my book, because what has been my experience is I let people say and do whatever they want. But if a situation comes up and I call on my God, we're talking about Mount Carmel. We're talking about Elijah on Mount Carmel.
Yeah.
When I call my God, he comes. Yeah. He answers. He moves. I have full confidence. I don't need to persuade. I need to compel. I compel men unto truth and righteousness.
Okay, differentiate that. Compel and what's the word? Persuade? No.
I try not to persuade people in what to believe.
It's very powerful, but you compel. How? What does that mean?
Through central truths and wisdom.
Can you give me a simple object lesson?
Because
they say that in sales, when you're trying to sell something to somebody, they gotta want it. You don't sell to them; you make them want it. And I don't know quite how to do that.
It depends on the person. I depend on the spirit of wisdom to help me in a moment. Are we talking about secular or Christian?
Well, I don't know. Certain truths are truths. I guess they work where you apply them to the world. But I prefer to talk about the spiritual things.
Cause I mean,
I don't care if I can sell
you
something,
you
but I certainly don't want to help people.
But I can give you a secular example, or I can give you a Christian
give
example.
Give me both.
Secular example.
Thank you.
A guy came up to me. He said, I don't believe in God. I told him, I don't believe you.
What does that mean?
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.